Begin the current daf Masechtas Bava Metzia daf Samach Aleph. We begin on the bottom of the Samach Mebeis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we open up the fifth parak of Masechtas Bava Metzia, parak Ezu Neshech, discussing the halachas of ribis of lending money or even through business rabbinically and getting back more on interest, more than what was given. So on that, there's the pasuk that mentions the prohibition, the violation of ribis. There's two terms as our Mishnah opened up. It was one term of Neshech, one term of ribis. Additionally, there's two parties involved. There's a lender and there's a borrower. And moreover, when the pasuk talks about, for example, the pasuk that we quoted in the previous daf from Vayikra Chafei Lamed Zayin, when it talks about Neshech, it mentions Kesef. And when it mentions Marbis, it mentions Ochlecha, mentions food items. So that's where the Gemara continues to explain, how do we know that all these terms relate to all the different points? As the Gemara explains, Tarban Loin Abraisa. The pasuk says in Vayikra, it says, your money you shouldn't give to the borrower with biting, meaning that it's going to cause him a loss more than what you gave him, you're going to take back from him. And with the increase for you of you the lender, you shouldn't give your food, meaning you shouldn't be lending someone something that you're going to get back an increase more than what you gave. Says the Braisa, I wouldn't know that you'd be violating Ella only on the negative prohibition of Neshech Bekesef, that regarding money, you'll be violating the law of Neshech, and regarding the negative prohibition of Ribis, will be Ba'eichel, because that's the terms that it uses. By Kesef, it mentions Neshech, and by Eichel, it mentions Ribis. And as we mentioned in the previous daf, Neshech and Ribis are both referring to the same law. It's just that there's two different laws. But being considered for a distinct law would be only similarly Kesef would have Neshech, and Ribis would have Eichel. Neshech ba'eichel minayin, from where do we know that you're even going to be violating when you lend produce, food, even not just for the negative prohibition of tarbis, but even for that of neshech? As we said, those are two different laws, and they're the same for the same action, but what are you lending in that action? Kesef? That I know that there is neshech. How do I know that neshech applies even to an eichel? That's what the pasuk teaches in Devarim, where it says, Leisashech le'achicha, you shouldn't bite to your brother, neshech eichel, a biting of food. Now, Rashi points out, although that this pasuk is talking about by the borrower, because from the fact that it doesn't say, Leisashech le'achicha, you shouldn't bite to your brother, rather it's talking about that the borrower himself should not bite into his own assets, into his own money, whereas the first pasuk that we're quoting is actually talking about the lender, because it says previously in the pasuk, Al tich kach mi'ita, you shouldn't take from him, meaning it's referring to the lender. But as Rashi points out, but one thing that we see that the Braisa is pointing out from this pasuk in the Devarim is that the term of neshech applies to eichel too. So therefore, when there's a violation of neshech, it applies not just to kesef, but also to eichel. Continues the Braisa. So I know that neshech applies not just to kesef, but also to eichel. Now the other way around, ribis bekesef minayin, from where do we know that when someone lends money, that not only is he going to be violating what it says in the pasuk of Neshech, but that the violation of Ribis, a second Isser, applies to the lending of money too on interest. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches over there, Neshech Kesef. So as the Braisa continues, as we continue on top of Samach Aleph and Aleph, Im Einoi Inyan, if that words in the pasuk of Neshech Kesef are not applicable for the context of the word itself, meaning to violate on money the Isser of Neshech, why? Why isn't it coming to teach us l'neshech kesef for the isra of ribis of the term of neshech for money? Because tarik kvar nemer, because it already says in the beginning of that pasuk l'sashech lo achicha, that you shouldn't be biting into yourself to your brother, which at the end of the pasuk it says kol davar asher yishach, that anything that will bite. So we know already from the pasuk that everything is included in the isra of neshech because it says kol davar. So what does then, when it says Neshech Kesef, come to say? Kesef is included in everything. So, Teneyu Inyin L'Ribis Kesef. That's based on the concept of if it's not necessary to tell you the Isser of Neshech for money, it must be telling you the Isser of Ribis for money. Now, continues the Braisa, now that we know from Loisashech, which again, as we pointed out, that's actually the prohibition of paying on Ribis. It's the violation of the borrower, and that it applies to both money and to food items, because Loisashech includes all items, as the pasuk says, called davar. So now we have the extra terms of Neshech Kesef and Neshech Eichel, because as we said, the term Neshech applies to Eichel, as we learned out, and Neshech Kesef says explicitly in the pasuk. So That comes to tell us that the borrower is going to be violating on the Isser of Ribbis on both of them. That Ribbis applies to both. So it continues the Braisa, Se'enli, I would only know that there's a violation of two prohibitions on each one, of money and on food, both of Tarbis and of Neshech, both by money and by food items, Elabaleva. So I would only know that applies to the borrower, because that pasuk that we're learning out, that Leisashech, which includes all, and therefore we have extra terms of Neshech by Kesef and Ribbis and Eichel, which tells us that there's even a violation of Ribbis and both them by both them, that's by the borrower. The Malvim Inayin, how do we know that the lender is going to violate on both food and on money, on both prohibitions of Ribbis and of Neshech? Says the Braisa, Nemer Neshech Beleiva. The prohibition of Neshech, as we brought Leisashech, is on the borrower. It applies to the Issa Ribbis on the borrower. Venem Neshech B'malvim, it also says the violation of the lender lending on Neshech. So, Man Neshech Amir Beleiva, just like when there's a violation of Neshech on the borrower. We just proved lechalakta by bemekesse bemeichel bemeneshach bemeribis. There's no difference whether it's money or food, or whether it's to violate both neshach or ribis. That for both of them, it applies both isur. So af neshach amar b'malva. So too when there's a violation of neshach for the lender, letachlik by we learn out this gezeirah of neshach that you don't differentiate bemekesse bemeichel bemeneshach bemeribis. That doesn't make a difference if it's money or food. That both of them are going to have the violation of each of two isurim, both of neshach and of ribis. Continues the Braisa. Minayin l'rabbis called about how do you know it include everything, not only regarding food items and money. Tamal Lema, that's the Pasuk teaches over the Neshech Koldava Asher Yishech, a biting that will incur on the, anything that you're going to give that's going to bite into, meaning that you're lending on interest, doesn't make a difference what it is. You can't give and expect more in return. Now, Ravina Amar, he says, Lai Neshech Ba'echel V'loi Ribbis B'Kesef Tzrich Yikra. Says that actually, you don't need a pasuk, as the Braisa just brought, to learn out that the halachas of both money and food have both isurim, that you need to learn out the lender's halachas from the borrower. And the reason being, says Ravina, is because actually the pasuk by the lender itself is explicit that says that both isurim apply by both food and money. Why? How does it say that? Didn't we just bring before that we says no, only by Kesef it says Neshech and by Ribbis it says Eichel? So it says no, because the Iksiv, had the Pasuk been written as follows, Es kaspecho leisitin loy b'neshech, your money you shouldn't give it to him with Neshech, which is going to bite on the borrower, and v'achlcha b'marbis, and your food should not be with Ribbis, so could the Kamer, then it would be like you said, that Neshech is going only on the money, and Ribbis is only going on the term right before it, which is achlecha, on food. But says Ravina Hashdech, but now that the Pasuk says, Es kaspecho leisitin loy b'neshech, your money you shouldn't give with Neshech. And the next word after is, Uvemarbis leisitin achlecha. It doesn't say, Va'achlecha b'marbis, it says, Uvemarbis leisitin achlecha. And that with ribis you shouldn't give your food. So says Ravina Karibe Hachi. The Pasuk specifically said in that way that you have the term Neshech and ribis right near each other to read the Pasuk, those middle two words, both with the first half of the Pasuk and the last half of the Pasuk. First, you read it as kaspecho leisitin loy b'neshech b'marbis. You read it that your money you shouldn't give with neshech and marbis to say that money you violate both. And so too, you could read those two terms for the second half of the pasuk. U'v'neshech v'marbis leisitin achlecha, that for neshech and ribis you shouldn't give your food, that both by kesef and by eichel, we know by malva, and you don't have to learn it from the leiva, it applies by both money and by food, both isur. Now that the Gemara asked on Ravina, but v'atana, but the time of the price that we just brought, nemer nemer kamer. He learns it from Gzeirah Shava, from the Malva, from the Leiva, that both say the word Neshech, and just like Leiva applies by both, so too by Malva. So how could an Amayra come and disagree on the Tana and say that, no, you know from the Pasuk itself? So that Gemara says, Nehochikama, this was what the Tana was saying. Ilu loy nemakra, if we would not have a Pasuk, as it is written, that would have told us that both is to imply by both food and money for the Malva, says the Tana of the Braisa, even so, Hayisi Oim Gzeirah Shava, I would have said that I would know it from Gzeirah Shava. But says Ravina, Akshav Shenem Akra, but now that it does say the Pasuk, Gzeirah Shava, Litzarach, the Tana of the Braisa would agree that you do not need Gzeirah Shava. So the Gemara asks, Gzeirah Shava Lomali, then what do I need Gzeirah Shava for? The Braisa is saying that hypothetical. So what do you need Gzeirah Shava for if you know it by Malva from itself? Says the Gemara, L'neshech kol dava asher yishach. For the other part of the Pasuk, when it says by the borrower, that for any biting, which we learned before, that applies not just to food and money, to any item, the loy kasa b'malva, that it doesn't say written by the lender. By the lender it says, yes, food and money. But it doesn't say everything else that you need for the gezeirah shava to learn out from the halachas of the malva from the leiva. Now the Gemara asks on a related, more macro question. Amar Rava says, "Lama li the kasav achmana lav beribis? Why did I need the Torah to write so many different, distinct negative prohibitions? For example, a negative prohibition on the topic of our chapter of lending on interest, a lav begezel, negative prohibition for robbing, lav bayno, which is the topic of the previous parak, a negative prohibition to charge on overcharging or undercharging, price fraud. Why didn't you just learn that one concept from the other? All of them are essentially saying the same thing, that you're not allowed to do something that will create a lacking and a loss in the money of your friend, whether it be through charging more than you're allowed to, whether actually taking the thing away from him, or by charging interest, you're creating a monetary loss by him. Why do we need so many distinct Yisroelim to say the same idea?" Says the Gemara Tzrichi, you need them. Dikas Rachman Allah Baribas, had we only said a negative prohibition by lending an interest, I would say Mishum Dechidushu, because that's something unique and novel, because Dafila Baleva As Rachmana. The Torah, as we pointed out, it's not just on the lender to charge an interest. There's a negative prohibition in the Torah even for the borrower that the Torah decrees he's not allowed to give and pay on interest. So therefore you would say that maybe this was a chiddush in the Torah and that the actual prohibition is not that you're not allowed to create a lacking in your friend's money, which would apply in other ways, let's say with gezel or anayna, because we see that the prohibition is even on the borrower, who he's not creating a loss in the lender. It's actually his own loss, and he's not allowed to. So therefore, I wouldn't have known that the Isra applies to the other two halachas too. Because Rahman Allah begezel, had the Torah only written the negative prohibition by robbing, Shem de Bal Karche, robbing is when you walk over to someone, you grab it away from him, and you run away, where you're taken by force from the other person. But regarding price fraud, where it's not balkarcha, the guy has a choice to pay this price, then I would say that maybe that's not prohibited. And because Rachman Allah Bainan had only written a negative prohibition by price fraud, Mishum Delayad Demacha, because the guy doesn't know that he's being overcharged to be forgiving of it. In contrast to theft, when it was robbed from him, he sees and he could be miyash, he could give up and he could be meichel. Or regarding ribbis, where he's actually a willing participant, I would say maybe that is permitted. Therefore, I need to have all these three separate isurim written. Now, the Gemara says, chadim echadil asya. So fine, you can't learn out one from the other. As we said, each one has a distinct characteristic you need it to be written for. But tesi chadim etarti. But there's three of them. Let one of them be learned out from the two of them. So the Gemara asks, hey tesi, so which one do you want to learn out? If you say, okay, the Torah should not have had to write a negative prohibition on lending on interest, and learn out from those two of gezel and ayna, says the Gemara, whereas those two are not willing. Ayna is because he doesn't know really that he's being overcharged, and when he's robbed, it's by force. But who would say that it is a prohibition for lending on interest where he's willingly giving it to the lender? So I wouldn't know ribbis from those two. So says the Gemara, maybe you shouldn't write the negative prohibition on price fraud, on overcharging. And you can learn that out from the iser of ribbis and of gezel. And that says the Gemara, that those two, robbing is not the normal way of how people do business, and neither is ribbis the normal way of how people do, meaning that's clearly creating a loss by the other person. In contrast to ayna, overcharging, which that's business how it's done. Because sometimes there's supply and demand and the person needs an object and he's willing to pay more than how much it's worth. In other words, that's actually considered the value to that consumer. It's not creating a loss by him. In contrast to ribbis is clearly a loss. He's just desperate, but it's clearly a loss. And so the gezel is clearly a loss. I wouldn't know, I know where it's not necessarily, it's not considered a loss to him. It's actually something that he's, that it's, it has that value to him. So Ella, so up to the third one. So Lelich Rachman Allah begezel b'teisa mahanach. So it says the Gemara, but no, it shouldn't have to say a negative prohibition of robbing because you could learn that out from the common denominator of both Aino and of ribbis. Because it says the Gemara, demai parachta, what are you going to ask? Are you going to say that, no, mala ribbis, how could you learn that out from the Issa ribbis shekin chiddush, which is novelty? How could you compare that to gezel? Maybe that gezel would be permitted. And that says the Gemara, no, Aino tachiach. Aino will disprove that, which is not a chiddush. And because that's creating a loss, and therefore you would be able to learn out gezel from that. Then you'll say, well, no, how can you learn malo ino? How can you learn from ino? Shekin lo yodo machel, where there the guy who's being deceived doesn't know about it to forgive it, in contrast to gezel, where he knows, and therefore you could say that he was meyash and he was meichel, and therefore maybe the gezel will not be forbidden. And that says the Gemara ribis techech. Ribis could disprove that, where he is knowledgeable of it, and he is meichel, and he could be meichel, and still it's aser. So then the logic goes back. Neither one of Aina or Ribbis has a, their distinct personalities are not the same exact. So, but they're both Aser. So what's Hatzara Shava Shebehen? What's the common denominator between the two of them that we can then extrapolate what is the underlying principle why they're Aser? Ishakin Gaisli. Because you're stealing from the person, you're creating a loss of his money, both by Ribbis and Aina. So Afen the Aval Gezel. So then I also know by extrapolation that robbing from someone is clearly forbidden. Why do I need a separate Isser of Gezel when you'll know it from the common denominator of Aina and Ribbis? So says the Gemara, Amri Hachi Nami. They said you're right. That you didn't need a negative prohibition for Gezel, you would know it from that. They said, then why does the Torah write a specific negative prohibition for robbing? Is lekevish schar sacher. It's not to tell you about robbing. Robbing, I would know. But it's for someone who holds back the payment of his worker, where he's actually not creating a loss for that guy because the guy never got it to take it away from him. He's just not giving it to him. That's something I would not have known from Ribbis I know, where you're taking away from him something that he has. Kevish schar sacher, I would not know. That I know from the pasuk of the Isra of Gezel. That the Gemara asks. Not paying a worker is an explicit pasuk in the Torah. It says in Devarim, "Lisashik sacher onav evin." You should not oppress a worker that's poor and that's destitute, which that's a referring to the Isser of not paying him for the work that he did. So why are you telling me that the Isser of Gezel is telling you that Isser when the pasuk explicitly says that Isser of kovish tchas sacher? That says the Gemara, "Lava labishnei lavin." You're right, but the Torah when it adds on Gezel is coming to say that there's two prohibitions. It's two violations when you don't pay your worker. I think I'm going to ask, but why? Why do you say that that's what the Isra of Gezel is coming to say? Velukme, but you could also clearly say that the Isra of Gezel is ribbis, it's a negative, it's maybe a second prohibition for charging, for lending on interest, or vayna, when you have price fraud. Velava labishne lavan, and it's for two prohibitions for those Isurim. How do you know it's referring to the Isra of kaivish schar sacher? That says the Gemara, Davala Minyane. It's something that's learned out from the context. As we continue to have in Beis, because Ubinyane de Sacher Kasim, the Lav of Gezel is written in that same pasuk that talks about the Isser of not paying your worker. It says, Le Sashik Vele Sigzel, which anytime it says Aishik, which is oppressing, it's referring to not paying a worker. And therefore, since the context of there is talking about that, the additional term of Gezel is coming to say that there's two prohibitions for not paying a worker. So the Gemara continues asking on this line of, once we know the principle that you're not allowed to create a loss for another person of his money, why do we need these other prohibitions? So the Gemara asks, the pasuk in Vayikra says, Lo tignaivu dukas rachman olamali. When the Torah says that you're not allowed to steal, Gezel is openly grabbing away, stealing is when you're going stealthily. Why do you need the Torah to say that? You could learn that out from Ribbis and Aina, where you're creating a loss for a person's money and it's prohibited, so too for Gneiva. Which, as Rashi points out, the loy tignav of the aseres adibris, that wasn't a question because that's actually talking about stealing people, kidnapping. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that you would not have known from creating a loss from a person's money. That's why it says loy tignav in the aseres adibris. But loy tignav in mayikra, what do you need it for? It says the Gemara, look at the time, like learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, when it says in the pasuk loy tignav, you're not allowed to steal, it's even if it's amanas lamekit, just to paint a guy, just to chap a guy. Even that is coming to say that's forbidden. Meaning, when you're not creating a loss. You just want to chep him to steal his stuff. You're not allowed to. Like Tignev, when it says you shouldn't steal, it's even amanas l'sham teshlumi kefil. It's even if, let's say, you want to give a gift to somebody and you know he doesn't take gifts, but you want to give it to him. So what you do is you steal from him. Oh, you're caught red-handed. And then Bezin penalizes him. He's got to pay double the amount. Now the guy, he earned it. It's the Torah says he gets it. It's something that he rightfully gets it. That's what it says, like tignav, not even steal, even if your intentions are noble, where it's not even to create a loss for the person. That's why it has to say, like tignav. Now, that the Gemara continues asking, Omle Rav Yimrl Rav Ashi, Lam de Kaz Rachmana b'mishkal eslamali. Why do I need, where it says in the Yikra Yotes, Leisasu, Avul, Goyim, etc., that one is not allowed to be dishonest with his weights, to create a distortion in that, to regards to purchasing? Why do I need a specific that's creating a loss by person's money? I would know that from Ribbis, and they know. So Malay, so he said to him, it's L'toymin Mishkal Loisav. It's coming to say something that he hides his weights, I mean, he conceals the mana or half of that b'melach. He puts his weights into salt to make it heavier so that when he comes to buy something with those weights, he's going to buy it with these weights. So although he's only paying for a pound, but it's going to weigh more, so it's going to create the necessity of weighing it down with more than a pound. On the other side, he's going to get more for his money, which is dishonest. That's why it says in the Torah, the Isra of Mishkalas. On that, the Gemara asks, Hainu Gezel Malyu, but that's straight out robbery. That I already know from Loy Sigzel or from the common denominator of Einar and Ribbis. Why do we need Mishkalis? That says Gemara, it's Lavra La Mishasa Siya. It's actually coming to tell us that from the moment that he just absorbs it into the salt, even if he doesn't weigh with it, just making his weights like that is already the violation of that prohibition of Leisaso Avol. That's why it has to say that as a distinct lav. So Tarnabon, when the Braisa, continuing on this Isser of Mishkalis, we learned in the Braisa Tarnabon that it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, it says Leisaso Avol, one is not allowed to do something wrong, b'mishpat, in judgment, which is b'mida, with measurement, b'mishkal, with weight, u'b'mesura, which is an liquid measurement. So the Braisa explains what these three terms refer to. The misjudgment, b'mida, in measurement, is du'medidas karka. That's regarding area, that's the measuring of land. Which is, if let's say brothers are coming to divide their land, so the one who's coming to measure, and he comes and he measures that he could split, he's the guy they go to divide it fairly, that guy should lo yimdoid, he shouldn't measure with the same rope, and that is, the rope is, in the times when it's moist outside, let's say in the winter months, it then expands more as much as necessary. Now in the summer months, because of the dry, it actually shrinks and shrivels. So what the Braisa is saying is that this guy who's measuring should not measure le'echad b'maisachama to one of the brothers in the summer months, le'echad b'maisachama one of them in the winter months, because then that's going to be an unfair comparison. That's what's saying, like the sasu of b'mida, in the measurement and area, you shouldn't use the same robe, one in the winter and one in the summer. When it says b'mishko, that you shouldn't be unfair in your measuring with weights, it should, like we said before, shaliyat b'mishkolais of melech, that you shouldn't absorb, you shouldn't hide your weights in salt, which then will make it weightier and will be dishonest, because although it says it's 1 pound, it's actually going to be more than that, the salt weighs it down. And uva mesura, which is, again, as we said, is a measurement of liquid, is that how would that be dishonesty that the Torah is warning, is shalo yartiach, that when someone's pouring the measurement from the wine and he's pouring and it bubbles up, which that's dishonest because a few minutes later the guy's going to have his drink and is going to be halfway down because all the foam went down. That is dishonesty regarding measuring with liquids. That's what the Torah is warning regarding a person not to do. So says the Gemara, "Valei devarim kal v'chaimer," and it's all the more so that the lesson that we learn from this is uma mesura, because this that the Torah is warning regarding a mesura, which is a liquid measurement. She echad mishleish mishisha b'log. It's 1/36 of a log. Hikpidol of Torah, the Torah is particular about this and warning that you should not have that dishonesty, which is not that much foam. Kavochayma lehin v'chatzihin v'shlishasahin reviyasahin. And for sure, for all these measurements, the log v'chatzilog reviyasalog, that which these are bigger, even though they're not so much, but that for sure you would see that the Torah is particular about, and the person has to be very careful when he's measuring things out to make sure that they're fair according to the transaction. Continuing on a related discussion, Amar Rava, he says, Lamali the Kasa Rachman the Yitzis Mitzrayim Beribis. Why does the Torah write the concept of the Jews leaving Egypt in the Parsha of Ribis, which is brought in Parsha Bahar and Sefer Vayikra, that when it talks about the prohibition of lending on interest, it talks about the Jews leaving Egypt? Why does it mention Yitzis Mitzrayim Gabi Tzitzis? When it talks about the Parsha of the fringes on the four-corner garment, it mentions leaving Egypt. And Yitzis Mitzrayim B'Mishkalas, why is it mentioned leaving Mitzrayim by the Parsha in Kedoshim when it talks about, as we mentioned before, the Isser of weights, of doing distortions in the weights? So, and that says the Gemara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, because our Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani hu shevchanti b'Mitzrayim. I am the one, says Hashem, that differentiated in Egypt between tibush shel bachar letibush she'eino shel bachar, between the drop of the seed, which was a firstborn child, and from that which was not a firstborn child. In other words, if let's say in Egypt, which was highly immoral, there were 10 bachelors that had relations with one Egyptian woman, and she became pregnant from all 10 of these, each one of these is the firstborn of the father. So Hashem says, although no one could differentiate, and it seems like this is one woman with 10 children, and only the oldest is the Bechar, they're actually all Bechairis, and Hashem says, I differentiated to know which seed this came from. Says Hashem, Ani hu she'as lipar, I'm going to be the same one that's going to collect and punish Mimisha Toila Ma'isa Benachri. That's the parasha of Ribis, why it says Yitzis Mitzrayim, which is that from someone that says that his money is non-Jewish money, and he lends it to a Jew with ribis, because a non-Jew is allowed to lend his money to a Jew on interest, but it's really the Jew who's lending. But he's saying that, oh, it's really non-Jewish money. Hashem says, no, no, no one knows, but I know. Just like I know which seed, I know whose money this really is. And also, for someone that conceals his weights in salt, and that is where, although it looks the same to everybody, so Hashem says, I know, I could discern, like I did in Egypt. And also someone that hangs this color, which is similar to tcheles, which is really indigo, and he hangs it on his garment, on his tzitzis, v'omer tcheles, so when he says that it's really tcheles. Now the Torah says in Bamidbar Tetzvav that one of the four strings has to be a psil of tcheles, which tcheles is actually very expensive because it has to be dyed with the blood of the chalazin fish, which only comes out of the sea once every 70 years. And therefore this guy is going to get something cheaper, which is indigo, which is kala ilan, which is much easier to have, but it looks very similar to tcheles. And the guy's going to say, oh, I have tcheles, but really it's not. Hashem says, I could discern, just like I discerned in Egypt, and I'm going to punish from these three types of sins. Now, related, Ravina ikla l'sur de pras. Ravina went to this place called Sur, which was on the edge of the river Pras, which is not the regular Sur that's always mentioned. And Omele Rav Chanina misur de pras, Ravina, Rav Chanina, from this place, Sur de pras, said to Ravina, Yitzis Mitzrayim de kazer rechman de gabi shrotzim l'omele. Why does the Torah mention the leaving of Egypt by the parasha in Shmini in Vayikra, where it says, Kani Hashem hamala eschem eretz Mitzrayim, I'm the one that took the Jews and elevated them out of Egypt. Why is it mentioned that in the parasha of the Isser of eating shrotzim, this insects and vermin that Jews are not allowed to eat? So Amalei answered him, he says, because Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the same idea of what we said in the previous concepts, Ani hu shev chanti, says Hashem, I'm the one that discerned, bein tibesh al b'char le tibesh en shel b'char, from the seed that was from the firstborn and the one that was not. So Ani as lepar, I'm also going to punish, mimisha ma'arav kivri dogm tamein, from someone that mixes in the innards from non-kosher fish, b'kivri dogm tamein, with kosher fish, meaning it looks like one big thing, it looks like tuna fish, but really this guy sticks in these non-kosher fish, u'meichel nisrael, and he sells it to Jews, says Hashem, I could discern, no one else could, it looks like the same thing, but I could discern, and that's why he mentions Yitzis Mitzrayim. Now Amaleis, Rav Chanina, said to him, he says, no, ano hamala kokashli. The question I was asking was not why does it say Yitzis Mitzrayim, but why does it use the terminology of elevated? Why over here, usually it talks about leaving Egypt, and there it says that Hashem elevated them from Egypt. Also, Amalei, so he said to him regarding that, that's coming to tell us look at the Tanit Bei Bishmol. As we learned in the Brisa of Shiva of Bishmol, the Tanit Bei Bishmol, that it was taught that Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, El Mali lo helesi es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Elo b'shvul davazeh, Hashem says, even if it would not be that I would take the Jews out of Egypt, only for this one thing, she'im etamim b'shratzim, that the Jews would not defile themselves by eating shratzim, says Hashem, dayay, that would have been enough for me. And that is because that is elevates them, the word of mala, and it beautifies them, that they don't become repulsive and disgusting by eating this vermin, and that's why we use the term of elevation, that it makes them to a higher standard than the rest of the world. Now, so Amalei, so he asked back to him, he says, Uminafesh igrayu tveim ribis, umitzitz mishkolis, what is the reward of not eating shrotzim greater than not lending on interest, or wearing tzitzis, or from having proper weights? There it doesn't say hamala. Why here does it say hamala? So Amalei, so Ravina answered to him, he says, Avagav delinafesh igrayu tveim, even though it's not a greater reward, but ma'isin lemachlinu, but it's disgusting to be eating the shrotzim, and that's why it's the thing that it elevates a person from being from the filth of the world. So the Mishnah said, Ve'ezu tarbis. So the Mishnah discussed what is neshech, which he gave a biblical example of neshech, which we said neshech and tarbis is really the same thing. But then it says, Ve'ezu tarbis. It gives an example of what would be that a lender would be gaining, which actually doesn't even talk about a case of a loan, it actually talks about a case of business dealings, which actually is the borrower that's going to be gaining unlawfully. But that's a rabbinic iser of ribis, as we're going to explain. So the Mishnah says Ve'ezu tarbis. It's hamarba beperis of someone that gets gain on profit on the transaction of produce. And the Mishnah says Ketzad. What would that case be? So the Mishnah said Lokachem in achitim bedinazav v'chulu gushad. This whole case of when somebody purchases wheat for a dinazav, which is 25, and then the price goes up, because he never got it delivered yet. It was what called pisuk. He was getting it for the future. And then he tells the seller, oh, give me my wheat. Now it's up to 30. Now it's worth 30. I'll go in and now I'll sell it and I'll get wine. And the seller says, you know what? You want wine? I'll give you wine. You don't have to take the wheat from me. But I don't have wine in me yet. Now, although the market value is out there already, but since he doesn't have wine at that point and he's giving me at a later point in time, and at that point in time, the wine itself might go up, and then he's going to be giving him on some level that ribis, that's going to be usher because at that point in time, he doesn't have wine. And that's the case, and we'll explain later the principles of that case. But one thing the Gemara asks on this is, Atu kolhani damina ad hashto, what? And what about all the cases, meaning the first case that the Mishnah spoke about? We're regarding someone that lent a sela, for which is worth 25 dinar, and he was gaining an extra 5 dinar, he was asking for 30 back. What, lav ribisu, that's not ribis? In other words, why is it saying an example of what's tarbis is this whole new example, very sophisticated example? Well, the first case when we describe neshach, those are not examples of ribis. On that Amravo, he says, as we explained the previous stuff, that no, ad kan shal taira. The first, when we describe neshach, and neshach and tarbis is the same thing. And we said, why does it say two isurim? It's just to say that when there's ribis, there's two isurim. But up until now, we were describing biblical violation of ribis, which is through a loan. When we explain what's tarbis, we're just giving a rabbinic illustration of the iser of ribis. And Bechinim Rabba Sotar Rabba says, Ad Ken Shal Torah, the first case of the Mishnah, when described Neshel, was talking about the biblical ribis. From there on, when it says the second case, it was explained a rabbinic case of ribis, which is through business dealings, not through a loan. Moreover, Ad Ken, up until now, regarding the first case, was we apply the pasuk in Eiv, Yachin Rasha, that the wicked prepares, but the righteous will end up wearing it. In other words, what that's referring to is that if the guy who lent on interest, the lender, if he dies and he leaves over the money for his sons, which he made that money on lending on interest, the children don't have to give it back because they're righteous. Their father was wicked. He didn't even get a chance to use the money that he made unlawfully, but the sons could wear it. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ad kan basulai? What do you mean? Only in the first case and not in the second case? What do you mean? All the more so, the second case is only rabbinic ribbis. For sure there, if by biblical ribbis, the son doesn't have to give it back to the borrower. For sure not by rabbinic ribbis. So Ella rather says, the Gemara, afila ad kan. What was said was that even up until now, meaning even the first case, which was biblical interest, still you apply the pasuk of Yachin, that the father who he prepares, who he is Rasha, he's wicked, and he dies, and he won't be able to benefit, and that Ve'ilba Sadik, that the son who is righteous, doesn't have to return it, and he could wear it himself. Moreover, says the Gemara, Ad kan ribis ketzutza. Up until now, meaning the first case was talking about pre-arranged interest, which that's a halacha that the court forces the lender to give it back if they come and claim it from him when he's still alive. Become ve'elich avak ribis. But the second case, what's called the dust of ribis, which is when you take a piece of wheat and you pound it, so you have what was pounded, but then you also have the dust, that's the rabbinic is called avak ribis, that's the secondary, that's the second case, secondary ribis, which is mentioned in the next case. Now, more of Amr Balazi explains, as we just mentioned, ribis ketsutza yetza b'dayanin, pre-organized interest, which is a guy says, I'm lending you $100, but you got to give me back $120, that is yetza b'dayanin, that the courts remove the money from the lender and he has to give it back to the borrower. But avak ribis in the yitzba deyanin, but the secondary interest, which is not through the Torah violation of pre-organized, pre-arranged ribis, although that's a violation of ribis, that does not get taken back through the courts. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, avak ribis ketsutza nama in the yitzba deyanin. Even a guy violates pre-arranged ribis, the courts do not take the money back from him to give it back to the borrower. So Amr Bitzchak says, my time to Rabbi Yechonam, what's the reason of Rabbi Yechonam? He says, because the Amakra, the pasuk says, Nicheskel b'neshech nosan. With neshech, which we said is biting on the borrower, he has given, v'tarbis lokach, and with increase, the lender takes. Says the pasuk, v'chai, and you think he's going to live? Lo yichyeh eskala te'evis ha'ela asa. The one who does all these abominations will not live. Which the pasuk there concludes in saying, mois yumas, that he will surely die, dam of bayyeh, he has the blood on his own hands. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yechonam was learning this pasuk, lemisa nitin v'leili shavim. Someone who lends on interest, on pre-arranged interest, is given to death, as the pasuk says, and not to be able to cleanse himself by giving the money back. So that's what we see. That's not, the courts don't take it back from him. Rather, he gets the death penalty, meaning by the hands of heaven. Another source for Rabbi Yechonam's halacha, Rav Adar bar Ava, he says, no, the Amakra, the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says, Al tikach mi'itoi neshach v'tarbis. You shouldn't take from him, from the borrower, neshach and tarbis, and it says, v'irisa melekecha, and you should fear your God. Which that tells you, that for the fear of God, this is was given, but not for return. That's what the Torah gives you opportunity for years, Hashem, but not for returning the interest. And Rav Amma, he gives a third approach. He says, Megufi de krush mele. That actually from that pasuk in Yecheskel, which it says that neshach nasan, from there explicitly you could learn this concept out. Because the end of the pasuk says, Mais yumas dam of bayyeh. die, he will surely die, the one who lent on interest, and his blood will be on him. So what we see from that pasuk is hukshu malvi ribis l'shevchei damim, that we compare the ones who lends on interest to one who spills blood. In other words, he's spilling the blood of, when it says dama bayir, it's the blood of the borrower, because someone that makes his friend destitute because he lent them on interest, and the guy is going deeper into debt and is going to die from hunger, the guy is essentially killing him. And therefore we learn, just like a murderer can't give that back, once he does it, he gets killed, he can't return that. So to someone that lends on interest, there's no giving that back. Once you did it, there's no taking back, and therefore the courts don't take it back from the person, even when he gives and lends on ribbis katsuta and he gets interest on prearranged ribbis.